You're listening to The Out of the Times. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You're the only little girl I've ever met in my life that can say the Pledge of Allegiance and wink at her poppy at the same time. Where did you learn to do that? I like it.
You like it?
Yes, I do. Okay, went along. I'll tuck you in.
All right.
Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody called me last night and said I had to get up and go to G2 on the satellite. At right where you're listening on the satellite to this broadcast right now, and that I would hear something very funny. And I went, and I did, and it was. A while back, the Dave Hinkson Show used to start its broadcast with a disclaimer, which basically stated that their show was for entertainment purposes only. And no matter what was said, it wasn't advice, and you're not supposed to listen to it. And, you know, in other words, don't pay any attention to anything we say. And I talked about that one night because somebody called in and asked about the Dave Hinkson Show, and I said, well, they say right at the beginning of the broadcast that it's for entertainment purposes only. So now, quite a while back, they had telling their audience that I was a coward and was afraid to appear on the Dave Hinkson Show because they had asked me to come on their broadcast and debate them, and that I wouldn't do it. And it was a lie. That they were just barefaced liars. They had never called me, had never asked me to be on their broadcast. And it's the whole, their whole program every night is that way. Somebody wrote me a letter and said, asked me if it was true that the federal government was going from door to door confiscating food storage items and, you know, food, preserved food, survival food in the state of Missouri. And I called them up and I said, where did you hear that? Oh, we heard it on the Dave Hinkson Show. They're talking about it every night, how they're going door to door in the state of Missouri confiscating food. And I told them, well, it's not true. It just isn't true. And most of what you hear on the Dave Hinkson Show, unless they have a good, credible guest, somebody like Stephen Jacobson or somebody of that nature, chances are that most of what you're going to hear on that broadcast is a lie. They have an agenda. That's a New World Order broadcast. They're perpetrating the alien threat from space. They have Jordan Maxwell on there every single night, and his agenda is to completely destroy Christianity. He talks about freedom and all that stuff, but that's not what he really means. He doesn't want you to be free to believe in the Christian religion. He wants to destroy it. And I could go on and on and on and on. But anyway, now they're beginning their program with another lie. These people are the biggest, barefaced, most unashamed, unabashed liars I've ever seen. Now they start their show with, Bill Cooper said this show is for entertainment purposes only. Therefore, when you hear about health and blah, 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 it's for Bill Cooper's entertainment. And I just about rolled off the couch. I just love it when they make total, complete asses out of themselves. What I really said was they start their show with a disclaimer. And in their own words at the beginning of the show, they say that their program is for entertainment purposes only. Well, apparently they took affront to that. They took affront to me telling you what they tell you every single night. And that is just about as funny as comedy can get, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to write Whoopi Goldberg and see if we can't give Dave Hinkson and his sidekick on the HBO Comedy Hour. That would really be funny. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to welcome Michael Cottingham back. Michael, welcome to the Hour of the Time.
Hello, Bill. It's good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back. You know, like last night, I'm just going to fade into the background and let you talk about herbs and plants. And if I come up with what I think is a real good question, then I might interrupt for a couple of seconds, but that's going to be it. So why don't you start out? Last night you talked about making a tea that would dilate the blood vessels and all kinds of good things, and what are you going to get into tonight?
I think I'll cover a few topics, and also if you have any specific health questions that you'd like to know about, then you could ask them, and other people would probably benefit, no doubt, from such questions. And, you know, topics of such nature as maybe herbs that are good for the nervous system and different types of nerve problems, and in fact, we could start right with that. I know a lot of people suffer greatly from cold sores or finger sores or sores of that nature in the mouth, and that's known as herpes simplex, which is actually a virus, and it's a retrograde virus, which, as far as I know, it's a virus that you continue to keep with you, locked away in the cell structure, and when you get weak or your immune system is deficient and you're tired and stressed out, a cold sore will appear. And because your body can't keep the virus in check, it comes out of retrograde and manifests into such a sore. One of the herbs I found to be really good for such a painful problem as that is an herb called St. John's wort. The Latin name for that is Hypericum perforatum, and then there's various species of Hypericum, but we call it St. John's wort. And it's an antiviral herb, which means it's much, much, you know, it's much better than antibiotics in the case of a virus. There's not much pharmaceutical medicine that is available for such thing as a retrograde virus. The theory in standard medicine is that the best thing you can do for it is to put some numbing agent on the cold sore, and that's it. I found that by using St. John's wort, and it's preferably done in an herbal extract, and an herbal extract is a combination of alcohol and water, and to extract the plant material, to extract the chemicals out of the plant material, much the same way as if you were to make a tea. When you make a cup of tea, water is a solvent, and you use water to break down the chemical constituents or the medicine that's in the plant. You use the water as a solvent to break this material down, and you drink it. When we make herbal extracts, we use sometimes straight alcohol, often combinations at different percentages of alcohol and water. It's really not too complex once you start making your own extracts. It's very simple to teach. So St. John's wort is best done as an alcohol extract, and we mostly use the fresh plant to make the extract. So when you have this extract, or they're often called tinctures or herbal extracts, by adding 30 or 40 drops of the extract to a cup of water and doing that 3 or 4 times a day, because St. John's wort is such a very effective antiviral, it actually helps to deal with the virus of herpes simplex or cold sores, but it also helps to deal with herpes zosters, which is shingles, and which is a very painful problem for a lot of people. And these are all retrograde viruses. In general, St. John's wort, to sort of pick up where we left off last night, is an immune system stimulant, but it also helps not only to rid the body of viruses as an antiviral, but St. John's wort is one of the, I consider it one of the most important herbal nervines, an herb that actually affects the nervous system. My theory is that a lot of retrograde viruses, like herpes simplex or the cold sores, actually hide in the nerve endings. And when we get stressed out, the nerve endings become frazzled or fried or stressed out, and thus it's a stressed cell structure, and the herpes virus actually manifests. When there's stress, parts break in the human body. I mean, that's already found by the age of 30. Most of us know our patterns of illness. We know where we get sick repeatedly. And that concept is something worth noting, because we know what parts of our body are actually weak. And we can use herbs to actually strengthen those weak areas from becoming diseased or broken down. And it's a Chinese concept. They say that by the age of 30, in Chinese medicine, by the age of 30, we know where we get sick. And it's a very important concept, because we could use something like St. John's wort as a preventative when we get stressed out. If we know that we get stressed out and we get a herpes outbreak, then we could take St. John's wort to help the nerve endings from being stressed out and from keeping the virus from manifesting. I also found that St. John's wort was a very good herb for a lot of people who are on mental psychotic drugs, drugs such as lithium or Prozac, or drugs that help with depression. They're often very expensive. They often have lots of wicked side effects, and often become extremely addictive. And we know the three reasons to suspect the pharmaceuticals, not only the cost, but the addiction and the side effects. But St. John's wort is a very, very effective herb for depression. It's a really good antidepressive, helps to increase neural firing in the brain, thus making things more clear and more pronounced, and we're not as mentally befuddled. But it's also a slight, because it relaxes the nervous system, it's also sort of a mood elevator, just as the reason why people take Prozac is to, Prozac is an epidemic problem in this country. I mean, it's a drug of choice for sedation.
According to our investigations, and in fact, I predicted this years ago, that it's in my book if you want to check it, that ex-mental patients who were on the drug Prozac would take weapons and kill children in schoolyards and shopping centers and restaurants and things of that nature, and it came true. And our investigation shows that all of these people who have done these things were indeed ex-mental patients and were indeed on the drug Prozac.
It's very frightening. And I mean, if your doctor actually recommends Prozac or you feel depressed, there is a good alternative. And I would suggest...
Yeah, run. Run away quick.
Definitely, that's a good working pair of legs for running is always good. But we have St. John's wort, too, now. they're the kind of people that they go out into the sun and they break out in hives. They just don't get sunburned, or they eat something, and they always have a reaction because in their skin, because they're sensitive in a way that very easily things in the environment disturb them. St. John's wort may affect those type of people. It might make the skin for one out of 500 people, a inaccurate statistic, but I'm just trying to emphasize that it I've never seen it happen, but it's textbook-wise, it's listed for people that have, it can make your skin sun-sensitive, thus you would break out in a rash, and that is one of the known side effects of St. John's wort. Compared to the antidepressant pharmaceutical drugs, it's a joke in many respects. If that one out of 500 person actually got a reaction, there are other herbs that they could go to that work very well for depression. What I found over the years is that there wasn't one problem. You can throw out any name, any severe problem, medium problem, light problem. There wasn't one problem that I encountered where herbs could not help to some degree. They not necessarily were the total answer. Sometimes people are too far gone for herbal medicine, or there are other conditions involved that they do not want to address, like dietary changes and environmental changes, and such as moving from where they're being, contaminated or et cetera, et cetera. It's like, but there wasn't one medical problem in all the times, all the patients that I worked with, that I couldn't find an herb that would make them feel somewhat better. And I think that's always important, not necessarily look for a total answer, but that these plants do offer some relief and some hope in some small ways, and often in large ways. And I always find that very enlightening, that with enough of the knowledge and enough diligence, I need to stress to people that if you do have a health problem and you choose an alternative route, it's very important to know that now you're becoming responsible for your health, which means work. And by taking herbs, often there's a healthcare practitioner suggests a certain remedy for you or a certain herbal medicine, and they say 30 drops or 30 drops of the extract 3 times a day for 2 weeks straight. It's very important to stick with this. There isn't, in the cases like we talked about the aspen bark, so that's one of those herbal medicines where you can chew a piece of aspen bark and immediately get the aspirin-like effects and get pain relief. But when dealing with a chronic problem, that's a problem that's reoccurring time after time after time, and sometimes flares up and becomes very acute and painful, and then we go seek help to push it back down to a chronic level. It takes hard work with herbal medicine to achieve a turnaround in the body.
But it's natural, and it doesn't require a great outlay of money. I mean, if you have the plants growing near your home somewhere, you can make these concoctions yourself. And, of course, you don't need any prescription. But I would advise people who use these types of herbal remedies and nutritional supplements and health alternative health measures to keep it to yourself, because there is a move in the power structure of this country to eliminate those kinds of things. And they have really come down hard on some of the health food stores and some of the people who help people or teach these things. And so, like Michael has learned over the years, that he tells you what these things affect, and he's very careful not to give you a diagnosis or tell you that it's going to cure anything. I would advise all of you listening to take that to heart, so that you don't get the heavy Nazi jackbooted thug foot on your head.
Yes, it's there have been many alternative healthcare practitioners, and and herbalists and even several medical doctors who practice alternative medicine in this country. There was quite a time just a couple of years ago where it was very intense. It was, you know, you just never knew where you stood as far as, you know, helping people in this alternative, you know, manner. I find now that some things have changed. It does seem like there's more, the sheer numbers of people going to alternative routes has actually helped the awareness and the protection. And now consumer demand, so to say, has now created a veil where now that people do actually look at these alternative, you know, the establishment looks at these alternatives not in a crushing way as they once did. It's very still oppressed. I mean, you can't, for the most part, have an herbal product and good, reliable information accompany each other. It's literally,
it's dangerous.
It's dangerous, and it's also, you know, we also have a problem where people live in a fantasy world. You know, they actually look at an herbal supplement and they read three times a day three capsules three times a day, and they take it, and it makes them sick, or they don't feel good about it, and they still keep taking it. It's like common sense is been, I don't know where it's at for a lot of people.
We've discussed that a lot on this program. I think America, for the most part, has lost common sense, and some people have held on to it, and some people are trying to get it back, but for the most part, it appears to be gone.
When your doctor or your healthcare practitioner who's working with alternatives says, well, really, your problem really stems from the fact that you just didn't drink enough water for the last couple months. And, I mean, there's something, it's like anything, the education level of, I mean, we do not look at our own bodies. We try to divorce ourselves from our bodies, and we try, when we get sick, we try to go somewhere else, for help so we can stay out of the picture, even though it's our body and we're sick. And this is a generalization, but it really does sum up a lot of the frustration that I've encountered over the years. People coming and saying, what do you have for high blood pressure? And the basis of it was they just wanted another pill for their high blood pressure. They're going to an alternative source, but they just don't get it. That plants dictate that we use them with common sense. I always tell people that you need to be diligent. You need to drink the amount of tea necessary to cause the change, because it is natural, and for the most part, it is very safe and forgiving. And most of the side effects people experience from medicine are immediate. If they drink a cup of tea that isn't right for them, most often they'll get a headache, or they'll get an upset stomach, or they'll get diarrhea. The side effects are obvious, and they're almost usually immediate, and we need to listen to them. And so even though herbs are mostly safe, that we need to still pay attention to what we're putting in our body if we're trying to heal ourselves, and be diligent with them, and just employ common sense. And back to, the St. John's wort, a very important herb in this day and age. I found that over the last couple of years, depression was on a upswing, and massive amounts of St. John's wort that I use. I mean, not to the point of, it's a very common plant, and actually in parts of this country, it's called Klamath weed on the West Coast, and it's a naturalized plant, meaning it invaded from somewhere else and has naturalized itself on our soil and has spread as some of these non-native plants do. So there is a lot of St. John's wort, and I found that I could use a lot of it without extincting the plant or causing an environmental catastrophe from overuse. Herbs are now faced. Some wild plants are now faced with the popular increase of their usage. Some plants are faced with overuse and are being threatened. Another aspect and a whole other topic, those that actually care about preserving native plants, But St. John's wort is common, very important, and I found over the last couple of years I started to use an immense amount of it because depression was on the upswing. And it's now very common and a very much an available herb in most health food stores, and well worth putting on the list and considering. Depression, it's a pain medicine, helps with, it has many other properties to it, but I often think of it in those terms. And last night I mentioned rosemary, the common spice. You can just about find a little rosemary plant in any garden center or little place that sells, a few plants. And rosemary is usually one of the few that you can buy. Very hardy, really grows very well. Although it's a Mediterranean herb, but can be grown on a windowsill or grown outside in almost all areas of the United States. And it's a very important herb, not only as I mentioned last night, that was a powerful antioxidant, and basically an antioxidant helps to keep things from breaking down. Oxidization is often another word or another way of describing rust or breaking down. An antioxidant keeps in tissue and keeps cells from breaking down or from aging or from falling apart. An important concept and a very important herb, rosemary tea, can be a very good antioxidant. Also topically, rosemary is antibacterial, antifungal, it's an antiseptic, so you can make a tea of rosemary leaves. You could actually, if you had a staph infection that was just in the beginning stages and didn't require anything more serious as a medicine, you could literally go to your spice cabinet, pull down some of that old rosemary that's been in that bottle for a couple of years, and make a strong tea from that, and bathe your wounds four or five times a day, and actually it's anti-staph, and that's just rosemary as a spice. Very good for infectious wounds of the skin. It's an antioxidant topically, it's antibacterial, antimicrobial, and common spice, and also easily grown. And it's also a nerve plant that's in this category that we're talking about. It's it helps with nerve pain. I find that rosemary is very good as a headache remedy, as a little rosemary thrown in bath water will relax the muscles, hyper-tense muscles, distinctly. Sometimes people think, well, I think the herb worked, or maybe it worked. I mean, some of these plants work because it's just straight chemical mechanics, and regardless of your participation in it, they work. But the more you use your mind and connect it with your body, the more healing you get done anyways. Dr. Andrew Weil, he's been establishing in Tucson the Integrated School of Medicine. It's actually a regular medical school at the University of Arizona. And one of the curriculums that he's requiring for young doctors going through medical school is visualization classes, and in classes that actually where people's minds are being taught to be attached to their body in healing.
Hold that thought, Michael. We've got to take a break.
All right.
Be right back after this pause. The Hour of the Time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading, our people down in Phoenix, who specialize in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets. Real money. You know, I know that most people in this country have never read the Constitution for the United States of America. When they really didn't care about what they were reading, they really cared a lot more for little Susie in the next chair, and little Susie was looking at little Johnny up in the front row. And we've all been through that experience, so we understand. But when we get older, there's no excuse for not understanding the principles and ideals upon which this country was founded, what our economic and money system is supposed to be, how it is supposed to work, what has happened to it, and why. So I urge those of you who have not done those things to begin now. And when you begin to see the truth open up before your eyes and you begin to understand, then I urge you to call Swiss America Trading and get your hands on some real money. Protect at least a part of your assets with real money. You see, all through the history of the world, gold and silver has never, ever lost its value. You can buy the same number of loaves of bread today, ladies and gentlemen, as you could in the year 400 BC, 400 AD, 1627, 1842, 10 years ago. And you'll still be able to buy the same number of loaves of bread with the same amount of gold or silver 100 years from now. So call 1-800-289-2646. Remember, I'm not telling you that you're going to make a killing or that you're even going to make one penny, although I have and many other people have who have taken my advice since this broadcast has started 4 years ago. And if you don't believe that, compare the price of gold and silver 4 years ago with the price of gold and silver now, and you'll see that I'm telling you the truth. 1-800-289-2646. I offer this opportunity to you to protect what you have, not as some great promise that you're going to get a windfall profit from the great increase in the price of gold, although that is very possible. That's not the reason why we urge you to obtain and own real money. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Please do it now. You know how we all tend to procrastinate. You'll be glad that you did. You know, there's a lot of people out there listening to the broadcast who haven't got the slightest idea what a Hudson is. Welcome back, Michael.
Hi, Bill. You always have some really interesting music, that's for sure.
Well, I try. I love music of all kinds. There's not one genre of the musical field that
does not have good music. There's a lot of bad music, too, and I try to stay away from that. But please continue.
Well, I always found that, that plants are nothing more, they're one of these, they're very tangible. And in the sense that I was in-depth listening to the, your commercial, so to speak, of the gold and silver from Swiss America. And I was just thinking that, tangible wealth. And no doubt gold and silver is very much tangible and always has been. But so has medicinal plants. And they've been traded since the beginning of time as gold and silver, and cherished and used as a commodity, and used as an important trade item. And I think that over the years, I really got to appreciate more, not only as I saw that a living could be made and that people were helped by it, but then I saw that the commerce of ancient herbal medicine was much that of much the same as the commerce of gold and silver, and all the true, almost absolute. There are very few things that seem to be absolute, but the true things that have stayed with us through through time, and medicinal plants have very much been a part of this constant commerce trade item from the very beginning, and it's very important for people to get past that it's just a cup of tea, or get past that it's it can be a major life-changing experience to be involved, and not just in just improving health, but it's self-sufficiency and it's strength, and it's a very important thing for now, as it was in the past, and for the future. It's one of those absolute things that I think goes along with mankind. And you start with those plants that are around you, as any villager or as any individual throughout time has always done. They started to know the plants that were around them. And so back to the the spice shelf. We talked about the rosemary, and it's very good for all the antioxidants, and it's a nerving, and it's very much an important medicine. A lot of research has been done on it. You go back to the spice shelf, and there's the spice sage. Sage takes us out of the nervous system herb category and back to the immune system. Sage tea is an immune system stimulant, meaning basically if you have a chest cold or a lung infection or a sinus infection, or you feel achy and the influenza virus is manifesting in your body, a cup of sage tea actually, not only is sage antimicrobial and antifungal and antibacterial, it's very much a mover, a stimulating herb. And it's very good for congestion in the body. And sage is also another one that can be grown very easily in most areas of the United States. And
sage is all over, especially the Southwest and anywhere west of the Mississippi and south of the northern. The northernmost states. In fact, Zane Grey wrote a book called Writers of the Purple Sage. I believe it was Zane Grey, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
He wrote a book called Writers of the Purple Sage. When I was a boy, I read that, and I never really appreciated that title until one memorable, wonderful day in the state of Texas when I saw the sage blooming purple. And as far as you could see, there was purple sage, and this thick smell of sage hung in the air, and it was invigorating, almost intoxicating, to see this and witness this and understand it. and also to understand that I'd been near and around this for most of my young life and had not even made any connection. And there are so many of these things that are so close to us that we never see them. And it's truly the meaning of you can't see the forest for the trees. You just become so used to your surroundings that you don't appreciate what they are, and you don't look at them close enough to ever find out. And I think that's something that we need to change. You know, when you gave the talk at the center at our conference, you, on the way to the conference, just stopped off at a couple of places along the road. You didn't spend any time looking for anything or invest any work into it. You just stopped in a couple of places and just picked a few branches and leaves and in a couple of instances pulled up a couple of plants by the roots because the roots were what you wanted to talk about. And I'll never forget that what you had there was a whole medicine chest and nutritional necessity for so many people. And you wowed me at one point, and I did some checking later because, to tell you quite frankly, I wasn't quite convinced that what you had told me was true, and it turned out that it was absolutely true. But some of these native plants here in Arizona and other places in the Southwest, some of the, for instance, the acacia and others actually have tremendous powers to give people back their health who have no hope of ever seeing their health come back. And I'm specifically talking about people with cancer, people who are taking all kinds of cures that in many cases are worse than the disease, could really be helped by some of these plants.
You mentioned the ocotillo, which is in the Southwest for us. The ocotillo sort of looks like an octopus with
his head buried in the sand.
With his head buried in the sand, and his tentacles sticking straight out. It's sort of a cactus, even though it's in its own family. It's not classified as a cactus, but it is in a cactus-like type of plant. The bark of ocotillo is a very famous medicine in Mexico, and I've used it quite extensively over the last couple of years for helping the lymph system throughout the body. The lymph glands are these glands throughout the entire human body that have a lot to do with filtration, and a lot of fighting takes place there. I refer to fighting as like when you have an infection or you have waste. Or items that need to be cleansed out of the body. The lymph system is constantly dealing with it. It's kind of a mixture of if you could imagine a tiny sponge, and that sponge is the one with the lymph glands, and that sponge is squeezing and opening, and fluids are coming in and coming out, but there's filtering and there's movement of waste. A lot of waste in the lymph system. Ocotillo is very, very effective for helping lymphatic drainage. And I jotted down a formula we had talked about last night. I've used this formula, and last night we talked about ginger tea, how good ginger tea was, how accessible it was by going and buying some roots, ginger roots, and grating it up and making a cup of tea from it. And as your base, because ginger root tea is good for circulation. A lot of people with prostate problems or lymphatic problems have poor circulation. So if you were to make a cup of ginger tea and add three herbs to it, sal palmetto berries, which come from Florida and South Carolina, and it's available in commerce, and if you don't have them, these other two herbs, substitutes become important in knowing more plants, as many plants as you can, because you can't always count on commerce. But if you were to have prostate enlargement or prostate congestion, a cup of ginger tea with sal palmetto berry extract added to it, a little bit of that, a little bit of red root, and red root That's a very much a ambiguous common name. So I'll give the Latin would be Ceanobis americana is the general genus and species that's used. But redroot, also called New Jersey tea, and ocotillo bark. So you have ginger tea with saw palmetto berry extract, redroot extract, and ocotillo bark extract. And this is very, very powerful. I've used it in cases of severe prostate enlargement with a lot of lymphatic congestion. It's a good hemorrhoid formula. It's a good tonsillitis formula, minus the saw palmetto berries. But it's a lymphatic formula. It's a lymphatic group of herbs. And these, when you were talking about serious problems, prostate enlargement leading to prostate congestion, leading to prostate cancer, is a big problem for men in this country. This is a tea and extract formula that I've used at various stages, from beginning prostate problems to full-blown prostate cancer. In the more severe stages, not as a total remedy, because it becomes you can fine-tune things for the individual who's having a more severe problem. But this formula would help basically just about anybody with prostate congestion, whether you had a benign or malignant problem. And the two most important herbs are the saw palmetto berries and the ocotillo bark. That bucket that I had picked during the conference, you know, it took probably 15, 20 minutes, and I think I gave a talk for about 6 hours, and I didn't even talk about, I barely talked about half the plants that that were in the bucket, and it took very little time to pick that. Every plant I find, I suspect every plant that I see as having something to offer, even if it's just beauty, which is a great thing in itself, because it helps to ease the mind, and we can sit and relax and enjoy the beauty of something, which in case is a type of medicine for some people. But one of the herbs that I didn't really get a chance to really talk about was redroot. And if I did talk about it, I don't remember talking in depth, because it usually takes a long time to talk about redroot. But redroot, which can be found from California to New England, is accessible for almost everybody in the United States. And it's a plant that's well worth checking into, because it's one of the most important plants in the last couple of years of my working with it and research for lymphatic congestion. And one of the most important herbs for the immune system. And I have a theory, which, I like to state it as a theory, and that it's an empirical observation, and which basically means that that's how a lot of medicine was performed in the 1800s. It was like, it was some science, some analytical science, and actually observing what happened, and actually participating and paying attention, and being an observer of the environment that you're in is an empirical sense. It's empirical medicine is kind of actually is like people are participating in it. So it's kind of like cause and effect, but you note every cause and effect, and you build on this information. And with a little bit of science, I've come up with a hypothesis that redroot is a very important herb, regardless of this theory. But because the lymph glands, the outside of the lymph glands, have an electrical charge, and much of the body works on electrical charges, negative and positive charges, to move fluids and congestion and waste, our body works on a lot of electricity and a lot of electrical impulses. And sometimes when we're sick, we lose our electrical balance. And especially on the outside of the lymphatic glands, we lose the charge of that surface, or the charge of the membrane, or the charge of the outside of the lymph gland. We lose the charge, and so our lymph glands get swollen and congested. I found that redroot actually, with a little bit of science and some of the observation, redroot helps to charge that surface again, electrical-wise, so that the lymph glands can pump out waste. And I find in our day and age, I really believe that a lot of our immune system problems are because
our cells are losing their electrical charge, and thus congestion is taking place. A lot of our health problems, in my theories and in my observation, have to do with losing electrical charges. And so here comes a plant, redroot, that has to deal with electricity. And, you know, we're talking chemical electricity, and it's not like...
electrolytes.
Yeah, electrolytes, and it's an important concept. And redroot helps to charge certain types of electrolytes, especially lymphatic gland electrolytes. And thus congestion and fluids can move. I mean, you can use redroot in tonsillitis with amazing results. You can use redroot in fibrocystic breast disease with incredible results. And in pelvic or prostate congestion, hemorrhoids, varicose veins, basically any illness that's viral or bacterial, that's caused infection, has caused lymph glands to swell up. Redroot is a very important herb. It's one that I'm never without, and it's one that I've probably used the most in the last couple of years. And it's a very common shrub. In California, it's known as California lilac, that's Ceanothus californica, and that's actually, you can use, you know, the root is, and the root is red once you start to peel in it, and that's one of the chemicals that you're seeing. The red color is the ceanothan chemical, and it's very a powerful lymphatic herb, and I just like to always tell people about it, because it could be the most important herb that they ever learn. When they have a serious, they've tried three or four different types of antibiotics, and their infection's still lingering, and now it's getting serious, and their problem isn't going away, and they're getting weaker and sicker, and you know, I think something like redroot, which is pretty much, I don't know of any toxicity or any contraindications. It's a very safe herb, and you know, and always used with common sense, of course. If you drink some red routine that doesn't make you feel good or upsets your stomach, you might think twice about using it or try it at a different time. But it's a very safe herb with no obvious toxicity in its chemistry, and it's a very important plant. In early New England, it was called New Jersey tea, and the leaves of red root were actually a substitute during the Revolutionary War to replace black tea, because one of the species of red root actually contains, the leaves actually contain little traces of caffeine.
Michael, I've got to cut you short here, because I want to get your address and your phone number so that people can contact you. And you do collect these herbs and plants all the time, and make up these recipes and things, and people can mail order just about whatever they want within your ability to collect it from you. Is that correct?
That is correct. And over the last few years, I've worked with over 50,000 people, and find that's what I do very well. And so we continue to do it, although we've changed our set and setting. I will always continue to do it as far as I can foresee. Mm-hmm.
And all of your herbs and plants are fresh. You go out and pick them yourself.
Exactly. There's like, for me, it's one of the aspects of why a lot of work can be done. If you have good quality plants, they're real medicine.
Yeah. How do people get in touch with you? How do they get? How do they find out what you have to offer, and how do they go about getting it?
They can. They could send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Southwest Botanicals, and that's P.O. Box 727, Silver City, S-I-L-V-E-R City, New Mexico, 88062.
Southwest Botanicals.
P.O. Box 727. Silver City, New Mexico. 88062.
Okay, folks, it's Southwest Botanicals. P.O. Box 727. Silver City, New Mexico. 88062. 262. Now, you also made a videotape not too long ago that's 2 hours. It's 2 hours of one of your mentors conducting a nature walk and explaining the plants and identifying them. And you can see the plants close up, and it tells you what they're good for. And, boy, it's an absolutely wonderful tool to be able to go out and pick and cure and prepare your own herbal medicines. Just talk about 30 seconds about the video, because we're really out of time. Then I'm going to tell everybody how they can get it.
Okay, the Medicinal Plants in the Field with Michael Moore is a two-hour film that Michael Moore is considered one of the great and one of the most important herbalists who literally he's single-handedly revived a lot of herbal medicine traditions in the West. He's written 4 books. He's the director and main teacher at the School of Southwest Botanical Medicine in Albuquerque. The film really captures the oral tradition of somebody in the field talking about medicinal plants. There's a lot of good close-ups so people could use it to identify a lot of good physiology, a lot of good first-hand information from somebody who's taught me a lot and I highly respect, and somebody who's been doing it firsthand, from picking the plants to making the medicines to working with the people to teaching and writing.
Got to cut you off, Michael. If you'd like to order that videotape, folks, you can order it from Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, P.O. Box 1970. That's P.O. Box 1970, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. The price is $35, post-paid, delivered to your door. Once again, Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925, and that is our new address, by the way. And the price of this two-hour videotape, which is just absolutely incredible, if you're into natural healing, nutrition, herbs, if you want to learn how to identify the plants and what they're good for, you've got to get this. It's $35 postpaid to your door. And Michael, thank you so much for being our guest tonight. And I hope your mailbox just fills up unbelievably.
Well, we'll keep doing what we're doing, and I appreciate what you're doing as well.
Thank you. And good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear some entertainment only, stay tuned for the Dave Hinkson Liars Hour.
You might sound like green to her.
I suppose she likes Rudy Fowler.
Get so pretty, come on now. You love to kill her better than you. Why should you care? Love is love is on the air tonight.